Blog Talk Radio.
Live on Blog Talk Radio. The Candid Frank Live Show.
Candid Frank Live.
With
about half of y'all motherfuckers on the hill.
John the Argo Boat Logo Granger.
Candid Frank Live.
Christopher Lion's Den Jones. Mike. The CFL is the best football in the world, Townsend. Kelly, Rough Rider Daddy Bale. Manasseh, Blog Talk Radio Show, Geber Medin. And Bruce, Hamilton Tiger Cat, 13th man, John Inch. Okay, who do we have in the room right now? Oh, John isn't here. Christopher, and we've got Mike. I had a chance to do an interview with one of our new guys, Shay Emery. Just finished editing the interview. We'll put it on in a few minutes. How you guys doing? Mike, how you doing?
Man, I'm all right, man. How y'all doing? Damn awesome, Mike.
Me too. I read your article, Mike. Very interesting. Good for you. I'm not finished yet.
I had
a lot to deal with today. So like I said, got the interview. Good thing actually we did it taped because I lost Shay Emery in the middle of the interview, so he had to call back. So it was like I had fun editing it anyway. And succeeded in doing so, and it's all good. So here it is, another week, and it appears that, I don't know, what do you want to talk about this week? I mean, you know, there's not that much activity. The Argos have, you know, made a move, brought in a running back, whom I guess, Mike, you believe is a very good player.
Oh, yeah, man. Y'all going to be real satisfied with Steve Slate, man. Before his injury, the guy was a 1,000-yard rusher, man, over in Houston. You know, big back, can run the ball north, south, east, and west. Man, he gonna be running people over like bowling pins. You're going to be real happy with him.
A strong guy, then.
Oh, yeah, real strong. Real strong and a real hard runner.
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes me feel good to know that he's that good a runner. Christopher, you guys in BC are starting to really get ready for the Grey Cup.
The team or the city?
Well, more the team than the city at this point. It's too early to really involve the city.
Well, they're pulling in a lot of players. I'm really happy with what they're doing. They brought in four O-linemen. They brought in a receiver. They brought in a quarterback. Unfortunately, Mikey doesn't like him too much. So we'll see how that goes. Wally's kind of hot on him. And no offense, Mike, but I'm trusting Wally.
Ain't no problem, man. I'm going to let John Beck's play speak for itself.
Yeah.
He's more hype than talk. He's more hype than arm. Trust.
Well, we'll see. Wally says he's got a cannon for an arm, and that will speak well for in the CFL. So I'm kind of hoping they're running a camp down in Arizona or Las Vegas right now. Shivers stomping grounds, I guess.
Well, okay. That's good. I hope Dex makes the team.
You did see my message about Mr. Khalif Mitchell, did you, Frank?
Yes, yes. Him and I are kind of like friends, and
okay.
But only in the sense that I have no clue what he's planning. I've asked him.
Okay.
I've asked him to be on the show. what I've heard from you, and he hasn't denied anything that I've repeated to him. I hold no malice towards him, to be honest with you.
No,
The fact that he left the Argos, I think I made my feelings perfectly clear, and they're not going to change. If someone doesn't want to be around, you know, be a decent person and let them leave.
Yeah.
And that's a life lesson, too. You know, that isn't just about football.
No, it's not.
What
I
good
mean,
is
he
it
never
having
wanted
something
to leave BC. Right, he did not want to leave BC.
Oh,
and
for sure.
It was a real shot to him to think that they're not going to get rid of me. They're never going to get rid of me. And all of a sudden, he's an Argo. And I think that was a very rude awakening. And I think that it did really well for him. He came to play last year for you guys. He did well for you guys. And I think he's matured a lot, and he wants to come home. So I'm all for it. It seems like there was a conference call with the D line. And all of the players on the D-line, and they all unanimously said, bring him back. And then Wally's gone off and phoned each player individually who were having issues with Khalif and went over with them to find out what it is. He's trying to make sure that the locker room is safe. And good on him, right?
All it's going to take is one blow-up. That's it.
Yeah, it will. And if that happens, then we'll see what happens. I know Andrew Harris and Khalif did not get along at all, and he was quite happy when he was walking down the road. So we'll see how that plays out. He's a monster. He's a monster up the middle. So how could it be a bad thing?
I agree 100%. You know what? I got to know him a little bit last year. I went to
Super Guy.
Majority of the practices, which basically gave me every opportunity to walk up to him and talk to him. And he was very open to conversation. He's a guy with I don't think I'd be exaggerating when I say that he has his own opinions and his own ideas of the way life should go. His favorite thing is that don't tread on me, I won't tread on you. And those are my own words. Those are my own words. He's a very, not standoffish, but he is very willing to talk to you, but the ground rules are set immediately of how it's going to go, how the relationship's going to go, which is okay with me.
I think that's a change.
Is it? What would it have been before?
He was not like that out in B.C., I mean, he was open, he was hugging kids, he was talking to everybody, he was just a wide-open person, and I guess...
Oh, no, he was a wide-open person, but, we have to also put into context where he may or may not have had trust issues all of a sudden enter into his life,
yes.
Probably because of what you said, right? And he didn't want to be here in the first place. He let it be known he didn't want to be here. So he's a smart guy. He knows he has to live with what he put out there, right? In more ways than one.
You have to watch how somebody talks to you, especially in an interview-like format, where they're going to ask you some hard questions that you're not going to answer.
And you know, I remember the first couple of interviews, and I hope this doesn't, actually, he was a guest on our show. TSN reporter was a guest on our show, and he does the sideline stuff now for the Argos, for the CFL, sorry, and TSN. And whoa, I'm telling you, their opening of their relationship was like it was one of those ones where everybody stood back, emotionally. It wasn't anything, no physical stuff, but you could tell that that Khalif was not into questions. That related to the reputation that he left behind and or his dissatisfaction with being here in Toronto, that is. So, yeah, you know, but he's a human being like everyone else. I mean, when things get tough, you have to get tough. You know, you have to be tough, not mean, not aggressive or any of that. But you do have to protect yourself. And, you know, as big as he is, and what I learned from the interview later we'll play with Shea Emery, is these are football players, but we forget that they're as human as anybody else. They may be big and strong and look mean on the field, but there are feelings there, and there is human frailty in play. It's just the way life is. We forget that sometimes. So what you're talking about is it's almost like Wally Bono took Khalif Mitchell and sent him to school. He didn't only send, you know, Khalif to Toronto. He sent him to school, is how I'm interpreting your presentation of the facts. And I have to witness the fact that he came and he was, you know, he was a very nice guy. There was nothing different than what you're saying, other than that he was just a little bit careful of what he was saying, because, you know, I think he realized that when you say you don't want to be somewhere, it kind of offends people, you know.
Yeah, I don't.
And now you got
to
deal with
these
people.
I don't think Wally did that on purpose, if that's what you're trying to say. I don't think Wally put him to school.
I think it worked out that way.
I don't think that was a – Wally was dumping him. I mean, that, no different than they got rid of Messam, right? Just get rid of this guy. He's toxic. He's cost – you know, in the locker room, let's get him out of here. Get him out of here now. And, I mean, when the players come to the manager and says, you got to remove this guy from your team – the manager has to listen, right? And
Or deal with it,
exactly.
Yeah.
And Wally deals with it really well. He moves them. There's no one person on our team that is so important that we can't move them. Right?
Well, we all have.
And Khalif went down the road. And fortunately for Khalif, he took it as a schooling. He learned from it. He matured from it. And enough that Wally's willing to give him a second chance, which you know, it doesn't happen a lot. I mean, Wally does bring people back from the NFL, but he definitely doesn't want, once he tosses his garbage out in the field, he doesn't usually bring it back in.
Well,
and I'm not going to say that Khalif is garbage in any way, shape, or form, but you know what I'm talking about, right?
Well, at the end, what it works out to is you have to make decisions based on the team, and the individual sometimes has to take a back seat, no matter how much you like somebody. Even if you know, I can imagine that there are a lot of players in the history of sports that have been dealt by GMs who like the player. You know, it's not about liking a player. It's not about them as a human being. It's about their personality and how it, you know, we all talk about it in all kinds of sports. You know, there's chemistry. And that chemistry, you know, a little bit of something may be too much to throw everything off. So, you know, that's a GM's job. He's there to ensure that there's a good chemistry in the locker room and give the coach an opportunity to work within a good chemistry environment so that he can be successful. And if a coach goes to the GM and says, look, I got to get this guy out of the locker room. I like him and everything, but it's just too disturbing for, you know, I just think it's the best thing to do. So you got to do that. It doesn't matter. It's just business, man. These are professional athletes, and if they can't deal with the fact that they don't fit somewhere and can fit somewhere else, then they're not going to be around for very long.
Frank, my thing is with the Khalif Mitchell situation, it actually worked out for Toronto more than it did for BC last year, because when they traded him off, man, everybody's running up the middle. They didn't have no defensive stopper in the middle. So, by that being said, Wally's going to bring back that defensive stopper to plug up that middle. Now, if they were to have one that fit the mold and was playing as Khalif Mitchell was, even better, we wouldn't be having this conversation about him going back to D.C.
Well, for sure.
No, we wouldn't.
And you know what? And like Chris said, I'm a person myself that believe in giving people second chances. I hope that Khalif learned from this. I'm not going to call it a lesson because he had a good year last year. I'm just going to call it, you want to go back to play for DC, I hope you learn what you need to do to stick, because if you blow up in the locker room or have one rant with other players, and that's it, you're gone. So I hope that he matured like they say he has and learned from this lesson. I learned from being away from the team that he really wants to play for.
Yeah.
Yep.
Agreed. And hopefully everything comes together because he is definitely an asset.
What I wanted to say, guys, is, you know, you guys are all right. The BC Lions, Christopher's harped on this before, and I kind of teased him the opposite about Khalif already, so I'm over that. But, he's absolutely right. They go that extra mile. Every year in the CFL, they have an orientation about being a professional in the Canadian Football League. They talk about doing things in the community. They talk about how you need to act, how you need to treat the media, how you need to treat the fans. And the BC Lions have always gone that extra mile to school their guys in these arts. And you know, it shows. And they know exactly who Khalif Mitchell is. They know what they're getting. I think this is a result of good conversations. And I'm happy for him and them.
Thank you.
Yep, me too. I'm happy for him, man. I just hope
that's nice that you guys, you know, Saskatchewan fans, BC fans, Hamilton fans, all you fans think it's wonderful, and this is all a wonderful experience. We lost a pretty good player up your behind, guys. Forget it. It ain't that nice.
Hey.
Come on. Hang on, Frank. Let's
reach some reality here. Was Alex Hall ever a Rider?
I don't know, was he?
No, he wasn't. He went from Winnipeg. He was a rental player to come in and win the Grey Cup because he was going south. That's just a fact. He really never was a Rider. And no different than Khalif Mitchell really never was an Argo.
Oh, I'm not talking about the human being or the beauty of a player being you know, part of a team. I'm just talking about we lost an asset, and assets are hard to come by in any sport.
Yeah,
well,
that
was actually Parker's fault.
I think it was
mismanaged, Frank, and I think you have to point the finger internally there. I don't think you can blame Wally and the Lions.
No, I'm not blaming anybody. I'm not blaming. Don't misunderstand. I'm not blaming anybody. Just real simple. We lost an asset, and as an Argo fan, I'm not happy that we lost an asset. I can't control why we gain an asset or lose an asset. I can only cheer when good moves are made and boo when bad moves are made, and this fits the latter.
Yeah, it's a system that the CFL needs to work on.
I tell you what, Frank. It's going to be all good because I see the moves that they're making over in Toronto. Like I told you before, when they sign somebody, they're going to make sure they get their money's worth. Toronto knows what they're doing. They're waiting for more NFL cuts.
If nothing else, and I keep repeating myself, I agree with you, Mike. Hamilton proved that you don't have to come to the season with the team you're going to finish with. You can make about 15% up to 20% adjustments during the season to make the team not 20% better, but 50% better, you know?
Whether you want to or not, you're replacing about 15 to 20% of your team every year anyway.
Exactly.
Due to injury.
I'll tell you what, I actually
think it's going to be a real big signing. It's going to be a big surprise signing that's going to come and that's going to fill that void that Khalif just left. I believe it's going to be a real big signing. Just stay tuned. Who was that? Christopher. That was not me.
Really?
No way that was me.
Really? Listen, Manasseh takes this kind of stuff really seriously. You know, Manasseh likes everything being cut and dry, really good. If he was here, he'd tell you that.
Hey, Frank, before we leave Mr. Mitchell here for a second here, I'm going to ask you a question. Did the scenario of you losing Mitchell, if it was in a reversed order, would you feel how would you feel if it was the other way around?
I would feel exactly the same of the way I said. When in fact I gain an asset, I'm happy. When my team gains an asset, I'm happy. When my team loses an asset, I'm unhappy. I'm not happy because You lost them. It's just totally selfish, self-centered. As an Argo fan, I want to see my team do well. So when they do well in picking up guys, great. When they don't do well in picking up guys or losing guys, I'm not happy. The same way if I'm an Edmonton fan and Ricky Ray turns up.
You know, was it 2 or 3 years ago? I remember a scenario where BC Lions had a commitment from a player to sign on the team, and it was coming on board, and he was on his way out to fly out here. He stopped in at the Argos locker room on the way by and signed a contract, and I think the guy's name was Ricky Foley.
There you go.
He got stolen.
Didn't he play for BC at some point?
He was playing for BC. He went to the NFL. He came back. He made a commitment to play for the BC Lions. He was on his way to sign the contract, and he stopped at the Argos locker room and signed a contract on the way by. Parker,
good for him.
Parker stole him out from underneath him.
Good for him.
So,
and I like that move. See, I like that move.
See, hey,
what's all that noise?
I don't know.
It's not me, Frank. You read a mind, and it wasn't me.
Gotta be
maybe
Kelly. What are you doing?
How many people we got on?
Do you know who it is? Hang on. Okay, let me do some introductions, because we started here with only two of you, and I have called a few people, and we'll start with Bruce John Inch, with whom we're gonna spend a day together at the Hamilton practice next, maybe this week. Did you go today, Bruce?
I went today, but they're going to be, as far as I know, they're going to be closed Tuesday, Wednesday, because they're going to move it to the indoor facility up here.
And when do they open again? When's a good time for me to come and meet you there?
When? Well, I'm not. You can't go to the indoor one. That's what I just said.
Oh.
Not open to the public.
No, but hang on. Does that mean you can't go at all?
Well, yeah, that's what that means, Will.
Yeah,
public.
That's it? It's
you're
over?
You're the 13th man, brother.
I know.
Is that
yeah,
over?
It's just,
so that's
it's,
it?
And plus, it's like a two-hour bus ride, man, for me. So I'm not
going. No, but here's my question. Well, I'll call them, and I'll see if they'll, I don't know. Anyway, what I'm saying is that it for this year? You can't watch your team practice anymore?
No, man, that's it today. So I'm glad I went.
Well, they're not practicing yet, you know? I mean, it's just a matter of it's all – volunteer type of stuff. It's not the practice hasn't started. Training camp hasn't started yet.
Well, it's a three-day mini camp that they're having, right? So a lot of people that come down for this three-day mini camp, the coaches are feeling them out and all that, and a lot of them will be dropped after the end of 3 days, and they won't be invited back to the regular camp. You know
now,
what I'm saying?
Are reporters allowed to interview anybody there?
Oh, yeah, you can get them if you can get them, but usually, well, not usually, all the time, they're rushed off the field and back onto the buses, right? Because when they practice at these places, they come on a city bus dressed, already in their uniforms.
Okay.
They hop off that bus, they go out in the field, they do their stuff for the 2.5 hours, then they are whisked back on the bus. So they usually do all the interviews, all the reporters and all that. They go back to Jervis Street at the headquarters of the Tight Cats, and they do all the interviews from there.
Oh, good. Okay, I'll give him a call because I'm not accredited
call,
with
man.
Them. 525
Cats. Give him a call.
All
number.
Right. So what did you see today that excited you? Was it everything you expected?
It was just nice to see some of the veterans back. Most of the veterans didn't show up, so I'd say 90% of the people I never even knew.
Okay.
But, it was nice to get back there and see the boys work off some of the rust that they've acquired during the winter months. But, yeah, a lot of the veterans didn't show, like the main guys. Like D-Webb and – well, D-Webb's the main main DB.
He may not be a main guy for long, though.
Who?
D-Webb.
Why?
I don't know. It seemed to me they sat him out at the end of the year, didn't they?
Well, he was injured also.
Okay,
he
good.
Was also
that's
injured.
The only reason, that's, okay, so if he was injured.
That's the only reason. Yeah, man.
Okay,
was,
perfect.
Because
I like him.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, he tried
also
to get back on, and he re-injured his ankle there at the end of the season.
Okay.
It was a mess.
Player.
Yeah.
The only good defender they had before last season.
You got that right.
Yeah, I know. Kelly Bale is also here. Kelly, welcome to the program.
Thanks very much. Yeah.
Yeah.
How you doing?
You didn't make it. You didn't. You know. You lost 10 brownie points for not showing up last show.
Yeah,
nobody showed up last show but me and Manasseh.
Yeah, that was my first miss in about 3 months since I have been a regular on the show.
Yeah, and that's. I just wanted to make sure that you understood that it's fine if you don't show up. That's why it's nice to have six guys, because that just doesn't. That allows us not to have so much pressure on ourselves. Also here, I guess you've heard him a few times, Christopher, I love to stir the pot, Jones.
What up? Good day, Chris.
I don't stir it. I kick it off the stove.
No kidding, you do. Also, you might have heard him as well, Mike, I am the driver, Townsend. And if you listened very carefully, you might have heard that he had an article that's been posted. I guess you posted it on CFL Is, right?
Yeah.
That's where I picked it up, right?
Yep. I read that. Very good article, Mike. I'm proud of you, buddy. You've done a lot of stuff, man. I never knew you did. You know, especially with the kids.
Hey, man.
Especially with the children.
I appreciate it, man. I appreciate it. Thank you, man. You know? That's 17 years, long time coming, man. I'm glad somebody acknowledged me for the hard work I do.
You
know
what?
And I'm glad you told us about your wife being a trucker and all that. That's just phenomenal, man. You know?
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, I've been a trucker,
that is great.
Man, for 2.5 years before Sia came.
Wow.
Yep.
Unbelievable,
wow.
Man.
Congrats, man.
And finally,
hey, Manasseh.
Yes, and finally, Manasseh Gibber-Medin. Manasseh, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Do you have any more good ideas this week that we can ignore like we did last week? Hey, we got how many? 2 out of the 20?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, so...
It was good. I don't know what happened to you two. I mean, I was following it, and we got right to Andrew Harris, and usually it's like, whoa, it's a BC Lion. Let's not talk about him. Let's go off and talk about Argos again.
Say what? I don't think so. We only talked about 2 people, and I don't think either of them were Argos.
Most of you are doing interviews.
Yeah, exactly.
Last week.
I had a lot of those.
Yeah, I have one tonight.
Now, hey, guys, tonight I got another CFL player, former player.
What time is the tomorrow?
Oh, 4:15.
Oh, 4:15. Yeah. So we don't have to
Manasseh.
Make it 4:20.
Make it 4:25.
Anyway,
we're going to have...
4:20 is an important number.
We're gonna have a football player, a CFL former CFL player here at 10 o'clock. He's gonna join us, and we're gonna discuss with him, ask him about what it's like to try and make it in professional football. He was in the NFL, and we'll ask him some questions about the CFL, how he liked the CFL, and we'll get it from a player's perspective, guys, what it was like. And so he'll be in it around 10. Robert Drummond.
Okay.
All right, and he's into promoting young players in the U.S. To play in the CFL. So we can ask him what he thinks is the kind of prototypical player that is well suited for the CFL by position, if you want. But anyway, we'll just put him in the group, and he's going to have – and also he has some interesting opinions in life in general. So I find him a very, erudite guy. So he'll be a lot of fun to have on the show. So we'll be having him on at 10 o'clock. And I think
he's won 4 Grey Cups, man.
There you go.
That's awesome.
There you go. It's great. And he was an Argo, so we're back to the Argo thing again.
That's okay. He's not anymore, right? So that's all that matters.
No, that's all that matters. Okay. I turned Manasseh's mic off for a moment because I didn't want to share his conversation with the rest of the world, and I'm sure he didn't need to. It wasn't a promotion for the restaurant. Let me get this interview through, and then it's just 10 minutes. That's all it is. It's just under 10 minutes. Let me get this interview on, 9 minutes and 30 seconds to be exact, and you guys can comment on the interview, whatever. It's a short interview, obviously. We didn't get into too much stuff, but whatever we got into, you're more than welcome to pipe up and give your opinion. Our guest on the Candid Frank Live's CFL is the Greatest Football in the World show tonight is former Alouette, Canadian All-Star middle linebacker, community and social conscious player, man, and new Toronto Argonaut, Shay Emery. Shay, welcome to the program.
How you guys doing?
Oh, awesome. It is such an honor and a pleasure to have you on in the group. We have fans from across the country, different teams. We have Americans that enjoy being a part of the program, listening to the program. They love the game, you know, the Canadian Football League. And and most of them were very curious because they know, and it's part of the, it's open mic, if you will. We all know who we favor. They all ask, well, why don't you have Shay Emery on? Why don't you have Shay Emery on? Well, I thanks to the Toronto Argonauts. I want to say thank you to them. I have a chance to talk to you, and that's great, and listen to what you have to say. So, first of all, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me on. It's, you know, it's good to get back into the CFL culture, and especially, you know, the some very, very strong Toronto Argonaut fans, and, you know, I'm excited about the season coming up, so shoot, what you got for me, Frank?
Okay, my first question is, you know, you're here now, you're joining your former defensive coach and offensive coach. Did that have any impact on why you're here?
Of course. You know, I'd be lying if I said no. You know, I enjoyed playing for Tim Burke, and, you know, I obviously, you know, I have a lot of faith in Scott's system. They won a Grey Cup here a couple of years ago, and, you know, with Ricky Ray at the helm, you know, you're going to win a lot of games. So it's a winning organization, and I know there's a great culture in the locker room that I've been excited to be a part of, and I can't wait for training camp to start on May 31st.
Do we both agree that the offense is in pretty good shape with the Argonauts, and really last year the defense may not have been as good as the defense that you had in Montreal, and how do you see Mr. Burke changing that, and how we fans will enjoy your defense? Because Toronto fans are very accustomed to great defenses historically.
Well, I think, you know, with Tim Burke's defense, he lets the defensive line really get after the quarterback, and it's always exciting to see, you know, quarterbacks scrambling around back there, and, you know, that's where big plays come in the back end when the quarterback has to throw up a Hail Mary or something like that because they got an aggressive defensive front coming in their face, and, you know, I think that's what you can expect out of Burke's defense.
In 2012, it was a very big year for you. You were runner-up for Player of the Year, runner-up for Canadian Player of the Year. Tell us how that felt, and to be recognized in that kind of fashion.
I think it was pretty cool, obviously, to be recognized like that. But for the most part, it was more fun to just play on a defense where we got after the quarterback so much, and we played such great defense. You know, the last 2 years has been, you know, amazing playing the defense that we were kind of like more of a sting defense and just getting after the quarterback and getting in the backfield, and it was something new and it was exciting for me to, you know, get those sacks and get a couple picks and score a touchdown or two. And, you know, it's just been a blast to be a part of the ride that I've been on in Montreal. And, you know, I'm excited to kickstart it back over here in Toronto.
Yeah, I hear that. And you're going to have would it be presumptuous of me to suggest that you will be an interpreter, if you will, for Coach Burke, since you probably know his system better than anybody that's with the Argos right now, other than maybe a few?
Potentially. You know, I think, you know, Berkey and I have talked a little bit, and, you know, we're definitely going to work together. You know, he likes his defense, and he wants to, you know, incorporate some different things. And so I guess this is the second coming of being with Tim Burke. This will be my fourth or fifth defensive coordinator in my 7 years. So I've been in a few different systems, and I'm excited to, you know, hopefully just add, obviously Tim Burke has been doing his thing for the last couple of years, so he's got some different stuff as well. So it'll be interesting to see what he's changed and what he's kept the same, and, you know, see where I fit into the puzzle.
What specifically about Toronto is so attractive to a football player in the CFL?
I think it was just a perfect situation with, you know, you got a quarterback like Ricky Ray, you got an explosive offense, you got a winning tradition and organization that has a tradition of winning and a strong culture in the locker room. And, you know, I'm quite close with a few of the guys on the team, and, you know, I've heard great things, and I'm just, like I said, just excited to be a part of that locker room. And, you know, it's just a bonus that, you know, I get to be in a city like Toronto that is obviously, you know, such a blossoming metropolis, and there's so many things to do and really to get involved in, and a Canadian in one of the biggest cities in North America, and really just enjoy it.
Yeah, and there's going to be some big things going on. We fans know some secrets that, well, I won't share in front of you because I don't want anybody to think that you gave them away, but pretty soon this team's going to go through some real changes. Good ones, in fact.
Cool.
Anyway, so let's talk about, because on the program, we really do feel blessed that we have men like you in the league who spend a lot of time in the community, you know, dealing with issues that are important to the community. And you guys take your free time and use that.
Being a football player, athletes, and, you know, really kind of emphasizing the fact that if you can gain control of your mental health, obviously I've had issues with it in the past with the concussion and suffered from depression in the past as well, and really just trying to share my story and empower men to initiate mental wellness.
Well, you and I have that in common. I'm challenged by PTSD, and it cost me my career. And I can understand wholeheartedly how depression can be central and gripping. You know, it can be very gripping, and you really are out of your element.
And so I've just founded a program called the Wellman Project, and you can check it out online. And you know, it's basically a radical outdoor adventure program that is evolving what it means to be a man and really empowering men to feel strong and brave in the vulnerability of openness that it takes to talk about being depressed and having PTSD. And so really just embodying someone that has the courage to do that and living by example and trying to kind of lead that cause.
Yeah, I guess put yourself together with people that have pieces of the puzzle that you're not grasping or you have, because life is one giant puzzle. And when something happens that takes out a bunch of pieces, it makes it difficult at best to live your life.
Correct. You know, and that's what we're doing. We're just trying to put all the pieces together and kind of present a platform for men to learn about themselves and to kind of commit to their mental health and really realize that it is the foundation for health in general. Because, you know, if you don't have a mentally strong and healthy mind, you know, your other parts of your life are going to lack. And, you know, simply because your motivation might be dwindling or something else might be dwindling because of that.
Well, that's one of the reasons why we love you guys. We brag about CFL players all across North America through our show and through our group and talk about how wonderful you guys are. And just another good example of, this sounds like a contradiction, you know, to say to a football player, especially a middle linebacker that appears to want to destroy the opposition, to have a kind heart and a gentle soul doesn't sound like it runs in the same direction. So it's nice to see that contrast.
you know, my one of my big things is there's no correlation between physical strength that people may think that a football player embodies and emotional vulnerability that it takes to, you know, talk up and talk about those issues. And that's what I'm trying to, like I said, I'm trying to lead that cause. And, you know,
fantastic.
The football player that is on the football field and the man that's off the football field, while they're interrelated, they're also very different.
We, the Argo Lifers, love to work with the Argos as fans. We're not connected to them in any way other than just fans. But we're always there if there's anything that you are doing that requires some assistance and or some, you know, cooperation from fans. You can do it through us anytime. We got to know two players that we've lost. It's great to have you because we lost Jason Pottinger and Joe Appel, and they're now in Ottawa. And it's great because the community conscious portion of the Argos, there's plenty of players there now, but it's nice to know that a guy up front like yourself is helping to make that balance better. It is really a pleasure to know that you're going to be on the field. Congratulations on joining the Toronto Argonauts. We look forward to watching you on the field. And we also know that it's great to have you in our community, and you'll be a positive influence within our community. And best wishes to you and the Toronto Argonauts this year. But do what you got to do to win. We are behind you 100%.
Thanks.
Our pleasure, my pleasure, and thank you for joining us. That, of course, is Shea Emery, number 41. Yep, number 41. And when we were talking, for some reason, I thought he wore number 43, which I think is Pottinger's number. I don't know, it might have been just a silly thing that I did. Now, a really nice guy. I'm glad he's on our team. He's he's an all-star. He's had challenges in life, which always is something that is good to talk about. difficult. A lot of guys don't want to talk about stuff like that, but it seems more and more in the CFL and maybe in sports, athletes are willing to admit that they're human. And that, I don't think, is a bad thing. All right. Well, anybody, hey, Manasseh, you haven't really said anything yet. What did you think of the interview? And what did I miss that you wished I'd asked?
No, nothing. Seems like you covered everything.
Oh, okay. I think the most important thing to mention, what I thought was, is how he felt about working with Tim Burke again. Now, he also mentioned that he's had four defensive coordinators in the 7 years of his career. So it's not like, you know, he's had just Tim Burke or just another guy. He's had a lot of guys. So he has a lot of ideas of how different defensive coordinators work. Very experienced, I think.
For sure.
Yep.
Anybody have a question that they'd wish I'd asked them? And maybe I'll ask them next time. If I impressed them properly, anyway.
No, fabulous job, man. Good job as always, Frank.
Oh, okay.
You ask all the right questions usually, man.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
Your $10 is in the mail.
Same here, Frank.
Oh, man, I take questions off
you, man.
Same here,
Frank, man.
Good
job, bro.
Okay, yeah. Well, good. You know, we all... I'm fortunate enough.
I have a question for you, Frank.
Please.
If you can ask Shay next time you see him or anything else, what I would have liked to have heard was that for the first time in CFL, the GM in BC, Wally Buono, put it out on Twitter who he was going after in free agency, and Shay Emery was one of them. And I would have liked to have known how that felt to him being put out there like
that. You know,
that.
You're right.
And
I didn't ask
what,
that question.
What was,
I knew, but...
What was the, you know, the conversation with Wally? Did he have one? And
how did he feel about
what made him go to Toronto and
like
not
that?
BC?
Yeah, no, how it felt to go public. How it felt that the desire of a coach to want him going public. But, you know, he did sign with the Argos the first opportunity he had. So, you know, in fairness to Wally Buono, I don't think he had a chance. And sometimes I think Wally Bono's a very intelligent guy who has, you know, he's not – I love the way he tries to make it sound like he's, you know, perplexed, confused, doesn't know what he's doing. But he's crazy like a fox, Christopher. He's crazy like a fox. So, you know, he is one of the best GMs for a reason. His team has been successful for a protracted period for a reason. And that's the way it is. And it's nice when you have a good GM, right? Right over there, Bruce? I mean, what a difference a year makes.
It was huge. We went from not being in the playoffs to, well, being in the playoffs.
Being
being
in the Grey Cup.
That's right.
Being 20 points away from a cup.
And you know what? Before they brought in Coach Austin, I believe they offered Coach Cortez both the GM and the coaching position.
That's
but
true.
He didn't want to do both. That's why they let him go. That was the understanding. You know, it had nothing to do with his crappy coaching when he did coach for us.
No.
Or chewing on his pin or whatever, you know. But
and, you know, well, Bruce, further to that, he's reiterated that in interviews in Saskatchewan, he said, you know, he's got a good working relationship with every team that he's ever worked with. So,
well, look where he's gone now, man. He won the Grey Cup.
Yep.
You can't do any better than that. You know, half those coaches came from Hamilton, man.
Yeah.
You know?
No, we appreciate it, my friend.
Well, you do.
That's not a problem.
You do realize that more and more, and the moment they hired Ken Austin, more and more, you're having these guys who are coach and GM and vice president and God all in one. I mean, Wally Buono over there.
He probably saves money in the long run, right? Do two jobs for the price of one and a half.
Man, no kidding. I mean, Benavides doesn't say much. You know, and I'm not saying that he has nothing to say. I'm just saying he doesn't say much. These powerful GMs that run teams, it's becoming more and more clear, you know, and You just don't have many guys like you have in Edmonton, right? A GM that falls all over themselves. You know, you got these guys now that are very, you know, very strong. I mean, look at Jim Pop. And they
even the young Pop, Kyle Walters. I mean, he's looking pretty good in Winnipeg. I mean, he's a pretty professional guy, and you know, some of the moves that he's made have definitely impressed their fans, and that's all that matters. It doesn't matter if it impresses me.
I really think in the CFL, a good GM has to think like a coach. I know that sounds stupid, but I really do believe in the CFL more than any other league, the GM has to think like a coach.
Yep. Who do I want if I'm the coach?
Right, and because the coach has his hands full with all the other coaches. You know, it's not just about the coach directing players.
That's what makes a successful GM slash coach.
Exactly.
You know, Brendan Tamman is about 4 feet away from Corey Chamberlain all the time when you live here in Regina.
But not in a bad way.
No word of a lie, guys. I was at Shoppers Drug Mart, and they were like two people behind each other. Like they're.
Is there an invisible apron string? Is there an invisible apron string going from Tamman?
Pretty much.
Hey.
Yeah, maybe they got those, you know, cups with the skipping rope that we used to do in the 70s and 80s.
And they continuously communicate.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got them on a short leash, or should I say string. You know, there is a thing about being a GM in the CFL that Mike has alluded to over and over again, and I agree with him 100%. There are a lot of GMs, one in particular that plays this game, and his name's Jim Barker here in Toronto. And I think Kent Austin was the same guy last year, you know, and I think he'll still do some more razzle-dazzle this year. But some GMs aren't in a hurry to do anything. Some take their time. Barker is notorious in taking his time, and this year he has gone over the edge in taking its time, not bringing players in. Now, Mike's theory, and Mike, you can share it with us, is that I guess you feel that he feels that the longer he waits, there's going to come a time when he's going to get real good value for real good talent.
Oh, yeah. You know, we're going to get real good value, man. You know, he's not sitting around there trying to sign the first free agent that comes on the market. He's just waiting. I mean, because you got NFL cuts, you got the NFL draft, CFL draft. He's just waiting to see who's going to get cut, who's going to get waived, and who he can talk to lure to the CFL or to the Toronto Argonauts.
Smoke man.
That's always been where his connections have been, is down south. I mean, he's even been questioned as to whether he's a true CFL guy. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is okay.
Yeah, he has some pull down here, man. A lot of the CFL teams got connections with the NFL, so...
Just wait and see, man. Just stay tuned. I believe he's going to be excited.
And then we've got in Montreal, we've got Jim Popp, who made the biggest splash in the offseason. I would have said Ottawa made it with the signing of Burris, but I think, 85 is a big move. And aside from the politics of them bringing him in, I don't think there's a bigger move this year which brings me back to the top 25 moves of the year. Manasseh, do you think that overcomes or beats Burris's signing with Ottawa?
Which one?
Yeah. Ochocinco.
85. Ochocinco.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, no question. I mean, the thing with that, I think all of us, unless, of course, you root for Toronto and Hamilton, I want Montreal to do really well and, you know, to win a lot of games and trying to put a big stat just because the publicity is going to generate, and especially down here in the States. So that's why I'm rooting for the Owls.
I'm on your side, not because of anything other than, you know, as a boat guy, as an Argo guy, the truth is that, you know, high tides raise all boats. And, you know, the more that 85 does stuff here in the CFL to attract people's attention towards it, to me, is not a bad thing. As long as we all can set aside the other stuff, you know.
You know what? Right. I always...
And Frank, may I add to this, too? And the reason Jim Popp even thought about bringing him in is because Chris Carter gave him a call and said, man, you need to come check this, let this guy come to minicamp. He's in great shape. Oh, yeah. He's in playing shape. You know, he paid his dues. Do the homework on him and bring him in. So Jim Pop said, hey, look, man, I did extensive background check on Ocho Cinco, Chris Carter, you know, which, you know, Chris Carter is a receiver, so is his son. So Chris Carter has some merit on what he's saying, a lot of merit.
Well, it's not just that. It's not just that, Mike. You're underselling. I mean, Chris Carter is a guy whose job it is to follow the NFL and to understand who the better players are. He's in the media. He's a guy. He's a commentator. And he knows what's going on because he has to know what's going on. And the credibility that he has, what I find is causes me a lot of enthusiasm, is that I think Chris Carter's spreading the word about the Canadian Football League, and he's telling guys, look, never mind my son. If it wasn't for my son, I wouldn't have gone there and followed the game and checked it out and went, holy crap, that's not a bad league down there. And you know, it wouldn't have been far-fetched in my mind where he'd give 85 a call and say, hey, listen, you really do want to play. I give the CFL a shot. They're real. Like, you know, it's not a prayer league. You know, a league that you hope will survive next year. And that's the best thing I think that comes out of this, even more than 85 joining the Alouettes. It shows to me that people who are big in football in the U.S. are paying attention to what's going on here, and that's great for us.
Oh yeah.
You know,
Go ahead, Mike. I guess it's the way the computers are. What I was about to say was, and give credit to Jim Pop. Jim Pop is no fool. If he didn't want to sign him or bring him in, he would have just said no. So, undoubtedly, Pop, the owner, everybody else in the organization did that extensive background check and say, hey, man, We can't lose that. I mean, we're not going to gain nothing. We're not going to lose nothing. Bring him in.
Let's put it in perspective. And Kelly, you come in. Put it in perspective that the contract's not guaranteed. So you know, there's nothing to be lost, right, Kelly?
Absolutely. And you know, I always used to kind of, you know, fear guys that we brought in that even had a glimmer of going to the NFL. I used to think it was stupid and, you know, don't bring in a guy that's going to be here for 2.5-3 years. Like even Fantuz, you know, like usually it's an old lineman out of the Canadian draft year, you know, or maybe even a D lineman these days. But, even when we drafted Fantuz, it was kind of like, why are we getting this guy? Of course I changed my mind, but, now I think of them as billboards down there. I mean, just like you guys are saying, Weston Dressler, Corey Sheets, like these guys are drawing all this attention. Just like Jarrell Freeman has drawn the Riders heaps of attention down there.
Yeah. And players, we've seen it ourselves with, you know, within the group and within the other Facebook groups where we're seeing a lot of guys who think they could make it in the CFL. And I don't have the heart to tell them. And they really don't realize that this is not a league that you can walk on. You got to be prepared for the opportunity that you're going to get because they don't realize how big an opportunity it is. And, you know, any guy that wants to play in the CFL, I got this message for you. You better be ready because if you're not, if you don't understand what it's like, you know, to play football, to really play football, you're not going to make it. More and more guys are coming up here with a strict intent of thinking that, you know, well, you know, it's a Canadian league. I'll make it. It's easy. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a rude awakening for quite a few of them.
And you know what, Frank? And one thing I can say about you, you sometimes you don't have the heart. But I'm going to tell you, like you said, you don't have the heart to tell them they probably can't make it. But one thing I can agree with Christopher Jones and myself, we would tell them in a heartbeat, don't think you're just going to go up there and walk on because it's not going to happen. Just because you come to the CFL, you're not going to make the squad. Because we get a lot of guys in our room, can you help me do this? Can you help me do that? And like Christopher told one guy, just showing film, a 30-second film on how fast you run and that you made a couple of catches in the end zone, that ain't going to tell a coach nothing. Get your butt to the tryouts. Go to the open camps. Quit trying to get people to do things for you. Do it yourself.
Absolutely.
And that's one thing I do agree with Christopher on. We tell them that all the time. If they listen, they do. If they don't, oh well.
Yes. And they better pay attention.
They need to.
Is this working?
Yeah.
Okay. The one thing that bothers me the most about these guys that are coming up from the indoor league or from anything else, the free agents down there, is they just turn around and they say, you know, hey, man, what do I got to do this and everything else? If you've got a burning desire to play football, you're not going to be asking some schmo on a Facebook page how you're going to do this. You're going to have your ducks in a row, and you're going to be moving hard, going in whatever direction you have to be. And you'd be doing your research and do everything else. And, you know, they say, well, how do I get a hold of the BC Lions? Well, duh, have you tried their website?
in other words, we're here, and let's make sure that guys understand that we can, like, when I say we, I mean the collective we, okay? Not we, me, and Christopher, the collective we. Whether it be in those rooms, what we can do is share information on where you can give yourself an opportunity to be seen. But the actual presentation is all up to you. What you leave people thinking is all up to you. All we're basically doing, and I hope neither of you guys get insulted by this, is we're basically just doormen. We open a door and say, there's your chance. This is where they'll be. You want to impress somebody? Be prepared to, because nothing we say is going to help you get there.
Hell yeah, agree 100%.
I agree too. You said it right. You hit it. You hit the nail on the head, Frank. We're just doormen, and
I don't
want to
be
any information out there. Thank you. We put the information out there, but we get. I know Chris get inboxes just as well as I do. Hey man, can you get me to the CFL? I can't get you nowhere, man. Your talent's got to get you there. You have to promote yourself if have to. You don't have an agent. Promote yourself, and if you do have an agent, you need to be talking to your agent on why he's not getting you no tryouts or getting you somewhere to talk to a CFL representative. That's your agent's part. It's not our part.
Yeah, backed up with some
and
film.
And for a lot of guys that's listening on the show, I'm not bashing you guys, cause I know a lot of y'all listen, but take it from us, man. Do your homework. Promote yourself. Get with your agent, because if your agent not doing nothing for you, you need to get rid of them. Simple as that. Yep.
And look Mike up in a couple years because he'll be registered.
There you go.
Well, apparently they're telling me, Kelly, I have a little disagreement with Christopher. I don't know if I have a disagreement or not, but Kelly, don't agents have to be registered with the CFL?
Yes, they do. They have to register at the league office, and police also have to register with the PA. They basically have to sign waivers of conduct. There's a lot of rules and regulations, and I believe they sit down from time to time and go over things. It's not a union per se, but, there's an organization of agents.
But players can represent themselves.
Like a professional organization.
But players can represent themselves.
I believe that's the case. Just
no,
like,
that's what Chris said. I don't
know
what he said.
Well, Frank, if you wanted to represent yourself in traffic court, would you need to write the bar exam?
No.
No.
There you go.
But it would take a very
special lot of players.
Player.
A lot of players can represent themselves if they have the knowledge of the contracts and everything else. You just
right.
can't go represent yourself like, hey, I want to get this amount of money and blah, blah, blah. No, if you have been in the game long enough and learned it, then you can represent yourself. But just some schmo comes and I want $150,000, come play up there. Please, turn around. Don't let it hit you in the butt.
You know, I don't mean to bring up the NFL, but LaDainian Tomlinson studied contractual law in university, like, for a reason, you know.
Why not?
Yeah.
That's not a dumb move. Pretty smart.
No, it's brilliant for sure. And a lot of these guys are in business. I mean, it's no secret. Business is one of the favorite, faculties in university for football players.
And why not?
Well,
get
sure.
them paid.
It serves them well. Oh, yeah, serves them well for sure.
What does an agent
they're,
get?
They're
10%?
In the community. What's that?
What does an agent get, about 10%?
I would imagine. I mean, would you work for less than 10% of the contract?
Nope, just
probably
wondering
not.
How much they're saving when they represent themselves.
Yeah, I would say it is about 10 to 15, or maybe like
what's his name, Darren Gill or whatever, or I don't know who the top agent would be right now, but, you know, there's some guys who, you know, are a little more slick than others. You know, there is a scale.
Absolutely. And there should be.
Yep. But, yeah, like when Mike said that he was going for his agent's license possibly within the next, you know, little while here, I thought that was pretty cool. I mean, that's a job we really maybe all dream of, you know. If it's maybe the next best thing to being a professional athlete is
you got that right.
Getting to know these guys and, yeah, being an agent, you know, courtside seats. Nothing wrong.
Oh yeah,
with that.
Why not? Oh yeah, that's gonna be my next venture. My next venture. So y'all just listen for the name. All you gotta do, listen for the name. I got you.
Where do you find Mike the agent? And where do you find Mike the free agent? Where do you find Mike the free agent? You find him at Townsend.
Yes,
you find him at Town
right.
Bend.
So someone there
right.
Saw that echo.
Yeah.
Oh, did we lose Christopher? Maybe I got to give him a call. He hasn't texted me or anything. I think we lost Christopher. Okay.
I was wondering. Go ahead.
No. Go ahead. I just say what what up?
Now you about to bring Robert Drummond on right now?
Well, I'm waiting for him to tell me that he's ready. He asked me to remind him, but you know, it's
Robert,
no worry. We'll get.
Wasn't he a wide receiver?
Running back.
Yeah, I think he was like a kick returner / running back. I think I remember him being with the Detroit Lions for a while.
That's right.
Yes, sir. Yep.
Who was he with in the CFL? Was he Toronto?
The Argos. I think BC. Geez, I don't remember anymore.
Yeah.
Was he in
Montreal? Yeah, I was
going
to say Montreal. Yeah, I think
Edmonton.
Yes, I think you're right. I think he was in Edmonton. Well, you just gotta look it up on the internet. That's the nice thing about the internet. You know, you can get all this information. The interweb.
Yeah.
Before the guy comes on, I just want to give a quick shout out to the Toronto Raptors and that great Game 4 win in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
That was amazing, man. That team, like, I'm a huge basketball fan, and I've completely fell in love with that team. Like, the way they play, the personnel, I can't wait to see what they do in Game 5.
Can you believe that a player can play that well on one leg?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Lowry.
Yeah.
The big thing for me was just the growth of DeMar DeRozan to go from a guy that, you know, he had all these, you know, problems off the court, and for him to be stepping up the way he is, that's huge. I mean, he's turning into a star right before us.
Now, you know what Manasseh and that contributed of him maturing.
Yeah. Yep.
And the maturity. Go ahead.
Well, there's something about this Raptors team. I mean, it's not just Lowry. I mean, sure, he has stepped up in a leadership role, but, you know, the other point guard, the Hispanic guy?
Vasquez.
Grievous Vasquez.
Grievous? Yeah, he's amazing. I mean, he's a pretty clutch performer this series so far. And, you know, Landry Fields coming off the bench. You know, they didn't have an answer for Joe Johnson in the first two games, and he really stepped up, and he's had a huge impact on defense.
Oh yeah,
I couldn't believe how well he did. But what I was going to say about DeMar DeRozan, and this may sound silly, but I truly believe it. He was lucky to be here in Toronto and going through those problems because he wasn't in a fishbowl. As much as I love this city and how big a city it is and all that kind of stuff, we love the game of basketball, don't get me wrong. But the politics of basketball isn't deep-rooted here. And he was able to, you know, it's the same thing that happens in reverse with the hockey players in this town. They're under so much attention that every little defect they have becomes a giant problem. You know what I mean? Whereas with DeMar DeRozan, if he had been playing for the LA Lakers or the New York Knicks or somebody like that, you know, his problems would have been front and center, and he may never have had a chance to get in front of his problems. And not to discuss his problems, because that's not what this is about, but sometimes you're really lucky. Sometimes, you know, basically careful what you wish for, because sometimes that's worse than anything. And sometimes luck just smiles on you. And I think luck and his willingness to work hard has smiled on him, and congratulations to him in becoming the kind of player. He has become a top two or three player in the league. If he continues on this trend, he is going to be one of the best players in the league.
And the thing I think that shocked so many people, and for me too, was the fan support in Toronto. Like, even when they're playing in Brooklyn, you got, you know, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people at Maple Leaf Garden outside just watching the game. And you don't see that anywhere in the NBA. I haven't seen anywhere where they have thousands of fans getting together outside to watch a game. And I mean, that's crazy.
Until last year, Manasseh, until last year, none of the hockey teams did that kind of stuff. Ever since Maple Leaf Square with the Leafs in the first round last year, if you watch American television, a lot of their teams now are doing that. Pittsburgh, what other teams were there? They have people outside the stadium watching the game, which is great. That's like, you know, that just gives people an opportunity, sadly, who can't afford to be in the stadium, a chance to support their team, which, you know, the team doesn't frown on, and neither do I.
Vancouver's been doing that for years.
Sort of thing. Yeah. As somebody who's done this sort of thing before, it's totally different than staying at home and watching it on your couch or even going out to a lounge somewhere. You know, like, it's completely unique experience. I liken it to the Red Mile or White Avenue in Edmonton when they went to the Cup. Same kind of atmosphere, you know. You just, in a big, you know, there's no borders on those nights. Like, everybody is a Raptors fan. And that's first and foremost, and it's beautiful, man. I'm telling you, like, you never felt it before.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, and you're right. It's not an original thing, but like outdoor hockey, you know, it was invented in Canada. It was invented in Edmonton. Montreal was the home team. And the American networks took it over. They saw it was a moneymaker, so they took it for their own and won't let us play those. I mean, Edmonton hasn't had one since. I mean, you know, those kinds of experiences where fans get to be, you know, close to the game because they can't, you know, as close as they can. The Red Mile to me was the first time that I saw it in hockey, to be honest, when Calgary chased the Stanley Cup against Tampa Bay. I think that's what it was. 89, wasn't it?
No, it was 2003, 2004, the year before the lockout, and they actually won in Game 6, and the league took it away from them.
There you go.
And if I could add, too, before we change topics, like, for people who aren't into the team yet, you're going to see in the next round when they take on Miami, this team is built to give the Heat all kind of problems, whether it's Kyle Lowry at the point, Valanciunas, the big man down low. If you have those two things, a good point guard and a strong big man down low, that gives the Heat fits. And I think DeRozan, with his athleticism, I think he's going to give Wade a lot of problems on defense. And, you know, I just, when I look at this team, I feel like they're going to shock everybody. And I think they're going to knock Miami off. I really do.
Manasseh, isn't another key factor, and this is what I love about hockey and basketball. When it comes to the championships, the teams that win aren't the teams who have the veterans, the best veterans, aren't the teams with the best, I'll say, transition players or middle-of-the-road players. In hockey and basketball, the teams with the best young players end up winning the championship because it is a long road. And I think last night's game, which the Raptors took off quickly, and I think what had a 17-point lead after the first quarter and then gave up the lead, I believe that they outlasted Brooklyn because of their youth. And I think that's an important factor in games that require a lot of speed. It doesn't work as much in football, in the CFL or the NFL, because, you know, guys are out there for a short time, you know. You know, we're not talking soccer here, but we are talking, you know, basically where youth is an advantage. And I think in basketball and hockey, I think youth is a big advantage because of the playoff systems.
Yeah, true.
Now, so go Raptors, you know, they they hopefully will, as you say, advance. They're a long way from advancing to the next round.
Oh, it's they're going to advance. It's a foregone conclusion. Brooklyn's too old. I mean, you can see them breaking down now. Like, they're not going to make it. If this thing goes to seven games, they're going to be hobbling, and they're going to need walkers and canes to get out of the arena at this point. That's not happening.
Well, I appreciate your support of the Raptors, our local team here. They've done a great job. I used to do high school and university and college basketball as well, play-by-play. And the most exciting moments I had were high school basketball here in Toronto back in the 80s. That's when I began to realize that the cultural change had taken and also how exciting and how excited young people were in the game of basketball. I never ever heard as much enthusiasm in a small area as I have in high school basketball, and I'm talking city championship, not just a regional thing. It was amazing, I am totally amazed by the fact that that this goes on. Joining us now, I recognize by the number, is the one and only Robert Drummond.
How's it going?
Hey, Robert, how you doing, buddy?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
We were just talking basketball. Don't ask me why, but we were. I think it was because of Manasse. Listen, I'd like to introduce you to the guys.
It's okay. It's still a sport, though. It's still coming.
There you go. Robert, I'd like to introduce you to the guys that are here. We have Kelly Bale, who's a Saskatchewan Rough Rider fan. We have Bruce John Inch, who's a Hamilton. He's the 13th man, big fan of the Hamilton Tiger Cats.
Husky wee wee, buddy.
Trust me, I know that saying enough.
There you go. We told you. Welcome.
Thank you.
Congratulations on your four great cups, man. That's phenomenal, buddy. Not too many people can say that, so be proud of yourself.
Well, thank you very much, sir. Thank you very much.
We also have Mike Townsend. He's a Detroiter who's a big CFL fan, and you might relate to Detroit, Robert.
Okay, I'd like to say you're right. That's where I played my first collegiate bowl game. We played the Cherry Bowl my freshman year in 1985 there. So Pontiac, Michigan. Detroit, Michigan, very, very great city. Great city.
Hey, what's up, Robert? How you doing, bro?
And you played for the Lions.
Yeah, oh, did he? Okay. All right. Good for you, sir. Good for you.
No, we're wrong. Hey,
how you doing?
And finally, the other American that's in here, and then we'll get to the big important guy at the end. Another American here is Manasseh Gibber-Medin, who lives in Minnesota, and he's a diehard Canadian Football League fan.
Ouch, Minnesota. A lot of cold weather here in the Twin Cities, you know. Oof.
Still cold, too, right now.
The Minnesota is a very cold city, but you feel me when it comes to dealing with cold weather.
And finally, Christopher Jones, Mr. BC Lions Den, loves everything BC. Everything else, not so much.
What do you mean?
Nothing wrong with loving BC. As far as BC, I mean, I love this city. I want to retire there one day. It's the most relaxing city I've ever been to before in my life. Vancouver, British Columbia is the city to be at if you want to retire. It's a great city. I love that city.
It's a very relaxing city. May I assume then that Christopher Jones is not the poster boy for BC?
No.
I don't know about that.
No. It's the home of the newlywed and the nearly dead.
I love going after Christopher. He's my sweetie. All right, Robert, first of all, let's talk about your career. We have a group here called CFL is the greatest football in the world. I'm not sure if you're in. I should bring you into the room there. A couple of the guys here, Christopher and Mike Townsend, started the group. It's been a very fast-growing group. There are also other sites. We've become, by association, I've become, by association with this program, become accustomed to, let's see if I can figure out what that is. There. Nope. Accustomed to, people calling us all and asking us for our advice on playing in the CFL. being a professional football player, you have to be more prepared than just making a phone call about, you know, figuring out how to play in a league. Give us an indication, your advice to anyone. Let's start with somebody who's in their late teens who wants to be a professional football player. What do you think they have to do, what they have to do to give themselves an opportunity to make it in the big leagues?
I mean, honestly, it's about sometimes being in the right place at the right time. I mean, it's just about having an athleticism that attracts the attention of a scout or a coach or a player or someone who's involved in the CFL. Me coming from the NFL, I was doing absolutely nothing at the time when they offered me to come play in the CFL. And I went down to Baltimore at the time, and they asked me to run a 40-yard dash. I ran a 4.31, and I ran a 4.33. So immediately they're like, "Holy smoke, sign this kid!" So you know, so my speed and my size was the factor that got me signed. It's going to take something special for a coach to actually see a kid and sit there and sign him. So no one can just walk up the street at someone's time and just go in there and just like, say you run a 4.6 or 4.5. Hundreds of guys run a 4.6 or 4.5. Excuse me. Thousands of guys run a 4.6, 4.5. So it's got to be something that separates you that makes these guys think that, all right, maybe we can sign this guy or maybe he can play. So it's a tough road to get into, and it's a tough task, but you know, it's definitely possible, though.
Is it enough to be fast?
I mean, that's hard to me per se, because on speed. They're definitely going to look at speed. If you're a fast guy and you're very athletic and you can move, they're definitely going to equate that to possibly being good in the CFL game. Plus, with the CFL being such a wide field, such a long field, speed kills, especially in the CFL. The NFL, not so much, but definitely in the CFL, the more speed you have, the more chance you have of making it into the league. It's an entirely different game. It's a much more fun game. It's a wide-open game. So if you have speed, you definitely have a chance of getting an opportunity to play.
When you came out of what college did you play out of?
I went to Syracuse.
Okay, and Syracuse is a great college.
Yes, it is.
There colleges, you know, because I'm under the idea that there are some colleges that are more CFL friendly than other colleges. Am I crazy to think that?
I wouldn't say there are more colleges that are CFL-friendly. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, a lot of talented players from major universities still go play in the CFL, so I don't think there's one college, or you can sit here and say there's other colleges that are more CFL-friendly or not, because it depends on the individual, it depends on the athlete, it depends on the person.
I'd have to say West Virginia.
I don't know, but West Virginia put a lot of people in the NFL also.
Well, put it this way, Texas colleges are well known for providing quarterbacks in the CFL. A lot of them.
Yes, they are, but that's true. But you still can't sit here and say that Texas is a CFL friendly college. I mean, it depends on the athlete. You know, Vince Young has had many years in the CFL. Johnny Manziel is in Texas. You know, he spent a lot of time in the NFL. I mean, you can go on and on and on about Colt
yep.
McCoy. You know, another Texas quarterback who's in the NFL. So, I mean, you can't make that statement, and you can't predict that, you know, dichotomy of quarterbacks from the Texans being in the CFL, because a lot of quarterbacks from Texas are making the NFL.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Kelly, you got something for him?
Just hello, Robert. It's a pleasure talking with you. I definitely.
Oh, you're awesome.
Watched you in the Grey Cup in Regina in 1995. And, yeah, it was definitely a pleasure anytime watching you run the ball.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask you, did you play in Edmonton for a short while?
I never played in Edmonton. I was only in Baltimore, Toronto,
okay.
and Vancouver or B.C.
Oh, okay. Right on. Well, that's some pretty awesome places to play. I mean, what did you think of Regina as a place to play?
As far as an opponent playing in Regina,
yep.
the one thing I always understood, the one thing that stood out to me was what great fan support they had. You know, they loved their football team in Regina, and every time we would go out in the city, I mean, regardless of whether we were an opponent or anything. We were accepted in the city. They just love football in Regina. That's the one thing that impressed me most about that city. I mean, honestly, it was wheat fields, and, I mean, you could see all for miles in that city, but they loved their football there. And when we arrived at the stadium, it was always packed. We always had fun. We always had a good time. They showed us class there. So I always have the utmost respect for the city of Regina. For the province of Regina, I should say.
Thank you very much, man.
Oh, you're right the first time. It's a city. Anybody else want to pipe in with a question?
Yeah, do you follow the CFL at all anymore, or are you like aware of what's going on?
I try to as much as I can, but with my schedule right now, it's very, very difficult. But, I always try, as many games as I catch, I try and catch the CFL as much as I can. I mean, I watch the championship games as all as I can, but getting games from games down here, it's very, very tough, you know, to get games down here in the state, you know. But I love the CFL. You know, it's what made me who I am, the person I am today, the athlete I am today, you know, and I always have respect for the CFL. You know, so I try and catch as many games as I possibly can.
Hey, Robert, this is Mike Townsend from Detroit, Michigan. Got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
What do you think about Chad Johnson signing with the Montreal Alouettes?
You know what? If he's doing it for the right reason, I respect it. You know, knowing Chad Johnson and the personality and the type of person he is, you know, if he's doing it for fame, if he's doing it for notoriety, if he's doing it for just to get his name out there, you know, that's the wrong reason, because the CFL is such a hard game and he's going to find it out. But if he's going to go out there and play 100% and give all this effort and give all this heart and put it into this game, I respect that. But, I mean, knowing that young man, you know, time will tell with him. We'll see how he acts. We'll see how he is. And we'll see who he is.
Hear, hear.
Good answer.
That's it.
I like that. Thank you. Great answer.
Oh, you guys are just some haters. Great answer. Come on, man.
He gave his honest opinion, man.
No, not him. I'm talking about you and Chris.
I'm not a hater. I don't hate this guy.
If he signed in Hamilton, you would have a totally opposite opinion.
Absolutely, man.
There
but
you
now
go.
It's time to body bag him.
But here's
absolutely
the thing.
Not.
Here's the thing, gentlemen. Chad is who he is. Who he is. If he changes, great. That's all I'm saying. You know,
yeah, that's all he's saying.
I'm basing it off of his history. If he changes, great. The league will accept him. But it's like, you know what, though? I mean, but Chad Johnson is who Chad Johnson is. So I'm expecting that old Chad Johnson, it's all about him. It's not about the team. It's me getting my shine on, my flamboyancy, blah, 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 whatever. It's all about me.
And too much cockiness.
If he changes, great. You know what I mean? I hope the young man, and I say young man because I'm older than him, I hope the young man does well, but his track record is so different. Until he changes that, that's all I know about him. It's all about him.
Yeah,
no disrespect to them. It's not
him. I don't think anybody took it as disrespect, for sure.
Oh, I know that they weren't saying it toward me.
But what
they're arguing one another.
No. What you're saying is 100% true. Because if nothing else,
yeah.
The biggest problem with Chad Johnson is Chad Johnson.
It's himself. Yeah, himself.
He's the only problem. He's the only problem. We can pretend to be a problem, but we're not going to be. I'm not a problem for Chad Johnson. I can hold up a sign saying you're a whatever. But at the end of the day, he's the guy that makes the decision as to whether he's successful in the CFL or not. And I'm going to repeat what I said earlier. If he underestimates the talent that's in the CFL, he's going to get a rude awakening.
That's all I'm saying.
You got to look at the other side of that, too. I mean, there's nothing wrong with being flamboyant and doing all these things because it worked out. He actually has name recognition. People know him. People who don't even follow football recognize his name, and he gets attention.
Ricky Williams has name recognition also. What did he do?
No, that's different. Ray was in the opposite. I mean, with Chad Johnson, people actually get excited about hearing about the guy. A lot of people, he has a lot of fans, and that style, people like that.
They did the same thing with Ricky Williams. Ricky Williams is a Heisman Trophy winner.
Yeah, that's different. Ricky Williams wasn't that type of guy. He was an introvert. He wasn't really outspoken. He was just known more for his off-the-field
issues. You know what, Mike? I got to agree with Mike.
That's different.
Chad Johnson's just a mouth. What has he done?
Yeah,
but a lot of people like him because of his mouth.
It's just style. It's the end zone celebrations.
I mean,
this is entertainment.
I like the guy, but what has he done?
he was a six-time Pro Bowler in the NFL.
You know what it is? He draws attention to himself.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Look at how many followers.
Well, no, hang on, Bruce. What you said is true, but also what's true is people see he creates a problem, and the problem is he creates polarities. While you like his attitude, other people dislike it immensely, and I think that's where what I think Robert's trying to say, and I agree with Robert, is that there's polarities here. Robert's more, and I'm more of a guy. Let's show me what you can do. Forget all the hype. Forget all the bullcrap. Forget all the bad press. Because that's where I sit. I said, show me what you can do. And if he comes in thinking that he's going to rule the roost, he might get a rude awakening because, number one, he's a lot older. You know, it's the old joke about Gordie Howe. If Gordie Howe was in the NHL this year, how many goals would he score? I'd say 10. And people laugh at me. I say, well, friggin', 80-year-old getting 10 goals in the NHL, that'd be pretty freaking good. And that's the thing. He's older, and I respect his ability. And I'm sorry I had to jump in, but I just want to continue, Bruce. I agree with you what you're saying. You have every right to say what you're saying, but
I'm not saying I'm agreeing with Chad Johnson's attitude. I'm saying there's a lot of people that like people like that stir the pot.
But there's as many that don't. But there's as many. What I'm saying is that's a bipolar.
I can justify my answer by saying, look how many followers that guy has on Twitter, man, versus any one of us.
Right.
Justin Bieber has
a gazillion followers on Twitter. What does it mean? It means nothing. So what? You have a follower. That means nothing. It doesn't mean talent.
If you're talking strictly talent, I mean, he showed it on the field with the numbers he put up, the fact that he forced defenses to have to watch out for him.
Okay.
He was a key guy. There's no debating that.
I agree. So why is he out of the NFL?
Because he had issues off the field and he got old. I mean, he's 36.
So he has psychological and matter depressive and wife beating and whatever problems, right? He has other problems, right? Okay? Right? And he's getting older, right?
He's got baggage.
So all of a sudden now he's going to turn around and become like a good guy, right?
No.
Okay.
I've spent 15 years of my life playing with these guys. I've spent 15 years of understanding and playing with these guys my entire life. I understand these guys more than you will ever know. He is not going to change. He is who he is.
A leopard don't change a
butterfly. I spent my entire career dealing with guys like him. He is who he is. I'm hoping he can possibly change who he is, but I see it. He's not going to. He is who he is.
But
he's about Chad Johnson.
But the thing about Chad, he had one off-the-field issue in 11 years.
Don't bring that one in because that's not what we're talking about. That's not what we're talking about.
What I'm saying is, after being away from the game for a couple of years, people do change. He want to get out there and play. The game was taken away from him. When you love the game and it's taken away from you, here's a big issue that Robert's missing.
As soon as he decided to put his hands on a woman, he took it away from himself.
Okay.
No one took it away
Let's. This is like a perfect example of what Robert's saying. Let's take a guy like Marvin Harrison, one of the greatest receivers of all time.
Oh, yeah.
A guy that hardly spoke, that did nothing to draw attention to himself. Most people who even know football passionately have no idea who that guy is. He's barely even recognized. Even while he was playing, he had hardly any recognition whatsoever. Chad, though, hasn't been on a team since 2010, and him signing in the CFL generated more interest in one day than any other player that's been signed in the last 10 years in the CFL. Now, you may look at it strictly – he's looking at it strictly on the field between the players. That's one thing. But from a fan perspective, as a fan of the league, the CFL needs publicity. It needs more media attention.
Well,
it needs to get people excited for a reason.
You see, the little bit of Christopher in me says, I don't believe in publicity at any expense.
It's not an expense. I mean, he signed a minimum contract with no incentive.
Please understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying that about him. I'm saying that publicity on its own isn't necessarily worthwhile. There should be some substance with that publicity. That's all I'm saying.
There's,
There's no question that Jim Popp has always had a little bit of a crush on the NFL. And, I mean, he wants to work his way back there. You know,
yes,
he might be a little bit
back in 1984.
Yeah, and he might
his NFL season is over with. His time in NFL is done. He's not trying to go out the wrong way that he went. I mean, because the way he went out the NFL was wrong, and it was on his part. It was his fault. Now, if he's trying to resurrect a couple years to go out the good way, I mean, going to the CFL to play, go out
good for
in,
him.
In the manner good of a way is good.
Good
it's
for him.
Good.
Let's talk about Jim
Brown
motivation
to sign
him, though.
I don't think
what Robert's trying to say here is that he's not going to change his spots to come up here and go out on his terms. He's going to come up here, he's going to act the ass, and he's going to get his butt driven out of the CFL just like he did out of the NFL. And that, I think, is what Robert's trying to tell us.
No, looking forward to this season and just because this is crazy. You guys are like, you know, running someone's character into the ground.
Robert,
probably
Robert, you're assassinating
this guy's character based on just the limited information you even know about the guy.
Okay,
hang on.
Robert,
God, wow.
let people understand your opinion. I respect what Christopher and what I think your opinion is, and I respect what Christopher thinks his opinion is. But what's important here is your opinion. You just heard what Christopher says. Are you okay with what he said? And if not, clarify.
You know what, guys? As a 15-year professional, as a pro who's been there, done that, you know, not speculating. We've been in there with the trenches with the guys and dealt with guys like Chad Johnson, Reggie White, blah, blah, whoever. You know what? He's not going to change who he is. I'm not saying he's going to do it for the worse. I'm not saying he's going to do it for the better.
Okay.
But you know what?
Do you know him personally? I mean, it's one thing to say people like him. He's already made that point.
Here's the thing. Guys, American kids don't grow up dreaming of playing in the CFL. American kids grow up with taking the CFL as a step down. I'm telling you that right now because I know that because I dealt with it myself. So the CFL is a step down to kids who grew up in America because they dream of the NFL. So for Chad Johnson to take a step to come to the CFL, for him, he had no opportunity to go to the NFL. So he took the next best thing to be able to go out there and play football, and that's real. That's real.
Okay, so then what's your point?
So now a guy with a chip on his shoulder is already coming up with a chip on his shoulder. And I'm not saying at all he won't be successful. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm just saying I know guys like him. I've seen guys like him. I've seen thousands of kids like him.
That's the whole point. That's my problem with what you're saying. You keep saying you've seen guys like him. You're talking about who he is as a person. It's one thing.
He's putting forward an opinion. He's not guaranteed.
That's not an opinion. That's slandering somebody as a person.
No, hold on.
If we're talking about on the field as a player, that's one thing.
Are you guaranteeing that you think it's going to happen, or are you just saying that the odds suggest that it'll end up being that way?
The odds suggest on who he is as a person that he's not going to change. What gives him a reason to change? A new opportunity? No.
Right.
Again, how can you make that statement?
Let me help you here, Manasseh. All we're saying here is, and I want this to be that what the show is saying right now, and I as the host, this is what I'm saying, what I'm hearing. What I'm hearing is, number one, that the odds are that Chad Johnson, the odds of Chad Johnson ending up continuing the path that he's been on are very good and worth betting on as far as Robert Drummond is concerned and Frank Stanishi. And Christopher. And what you're saying is that he could be the exception that makes the rule, you know?
That's what I'm saying.
I get it, and I'm trying to cover all the bases, guys, so that we don't sound like we're just bickering. Okay,
I think the only thing Chad is going to bring to the table with the wide receiver court, they're going to have a little bit more swag and a lot more confidence in their abilities with him on the field. He's going to bring that to that wide receiver court. It's not like they don't. but he's going to bring that extra oomph to him. And that's
I know,
make
but there's a price.
Dangerous.
But there's a price for that, which is what Robert Drummond is trying to say as an experienced football player, that in the locker room, you know, it might be a problem if he starts rubbing off on some of the guys, because then it becomes less about the team and more about me. And guys, we all know in sports, if the team starts to come in second, if people start playing for the name on the back and not the name on the front, you begin to have a problem, which is what I think Robert Drummond is trying to say.
That's exactly what he's saying. The best predictor of the future behavior is your past behavior. So,
you
know.
Chad Johnson.
Yeah. And you know what?
Has always been about Chad Johnson from day one.
All of Chad Johnson's latest interviews are all about Chad Johnson.
Great talent, all the ability in the world, and one of the greatest receivers, I mean, like talent-wise, ever played a game, but he's always been about Chad Johnson. That's not changing. I don't care what
you know, guys,
goes to.
Okay, you guys, okay, first of all, this isn't college football we're talking about here where it's all about the team. This is a business where the team will let you go in a heartbeat and they will care less how you're being well off after
which
that.
Is
these
why
guys have
Montreal
to look out for themselves.
Them. Which is,
why
he, what allows yeah. Montreal to sign him. There's no guaranteed contract.
Let's talk about the business for a second. And, guys, it's a perfect storm. Like, you got to see what's important to talk about here. We can't know what's going to happen with Chad Johnson.
No, we can't.
He's going to play out. So, listen, this is the way it went down. Jim Popp is a little bit jealous of the NFL. He was feeling left out. Tressman's down there. All his players are signing contracts down there. He's feeling left out. He brings in Ocho Cinco. Ocho Cinco's motivating factor, money, publicity, getting back
him.
On that Twitter numbers, him, right? This is a perfect storm, guys. This
sure
was
is.
Going to happen.
And I'm okay with it.
And you
I'm
know,
okay
you know how,
it.
Well, and Mike's saying, you know, like they're going to have that extra swag. Well, I hope they do, because they're going to find out in training camp that they can compete with this guy.
Oh, and that'll just rub the swag. Hopefully it'll rub the swag on them, and it'll be the good kind of swag. But do you agree, Kelly, that
exactly.
there's good swag and bad swag?
Oh, for sure. We saw it in Winnipeg. I mean, we saw it
that's
here
all,
in Ryderville with Fred.
That's all
Fred
Robert
Perry,
Drummond is
I
trying
mean,
to say, and I don't mean to speak for him, but that's
yeah.
what he's trying to say. There's good confidence,
there
and there's bad confidence. Right, Robert?
Yeah.
I'm not putting words in your mouth.
You're 1,000%.
There you go.
And you know what else? He might be fine. He might be fine for the first half season or even for a full season. And then he might go back to his usual antics next season or the year after that, like Erland Bruce always did. You know, he was good in Toronto, then he became the – you know what? He got
yep.
traded to Hamilton. He was everybody liked him when he came to Hamilton. Then he thought he was king you know what. And he got the boot out of Hamilton. He went to B.C. He did the
yep.
same in B.C.
Same.
Then he went to Montreal. Same with Montreal. You know, past behavior is your future behavior. That pretty well sums it up, man. Eventually
people
it'll come
can
out.
Change.
People
can people
change.
People can change,
man.
People
can
change.
Saying
Nobody's
can't,
saying they
but
can't,
the majority
right.
of the people don't. Okay,
but
that's all.
They have to want to change. And I don't think there's anything in Chad Johnson's core that says, I want to change.
I
See,
think the only thing
Chris,
that I'll fight you on that one, and I'll argue
guys,
that one, and I'll stick up for Mike with that one. I think he is willing to change, if, like Buddy said,
good
if he's
you.
Willing to come down from an NFL statue to a CFL statue, that is a big step down for an American. Because, like you said, Americans dream of the NFL.
Hey, Bruce,
just like us Canadians dream of the NHL. We don't dream of the AHL. We dream of the NHL. Same thing.
I'll give you that, but I'll tell you what it is. That's going to be very temporary.
That's
because
what I'm saying.
The rubber band effect
it's
going to come
be like
right
an Erland
back.
Bruce situation. He'll behave
yeah.
for a half a year or a season.
I mean,
but can
the,
we
Chris,
all admit?
Chris, how can you say something like in the depth of his core? Like, you're talking about him as a person making these crazy statements. And I'm sorry, Robert, it's sad that you have to be in agreement with Chris on this because he likes to take shots at people on the low. But this is crazy, man. What you guys are talking about is something that we as people shouldn't even be discussing. People,
but you know what,
Mike,
there's not too many people that are really, really nice people like you.
It's not about
second chances to that.
Check it out. The thing I want to say about Chad Johnson, a lot of you guys, man, before he came hurt, signed in the CFL,
a lot of you didn't know who he was. If you watched him on the field, the man was a hard worker. I enjoyed the touchdown dances, the Hall of Fame jacket. And if Marvin Lewis had any problem with Chad Johnson or the owner, they would have got rid of him quick, fast, and a hurry.
Well, you know what, guys? If I can interject, and I want to keep saying this, no one here can guarantee what will happen in the future because neither of us, I don't think any of us, have the crystal ball to tell the future. What we're saying here is what we think will be the future. But really, honestly, guys, it could also be something that runs around the middle of what we're all saying. And the important thing to note here is, and I don't want to get lost on this, and I don't think Robert or Christopher or any reasonable person would give or take away an opportunity for someone to prove that they can change. Yes, it's true. Most people can't change. It's historical fact. It's not something that we're making up. But some people have changed, and everyone, because of that, deserves a chance to prove that they can change. But there will never be people who believe that Chad Johnson will change, which is okay, as long as Chad Johnson's mature enough to understand that and carry on doing the right thing without making the excuse. And this is what people like, some people like Chad Johnson do. They use the people who are against them as an excuse to go back to their old habits. And this is what my only concern is with Chad Johnson. As far as he's concerned, I'm giving him another chance, but I'm not going to hide from what he's done before. So now Robert, thank you. I'm having such a tough time getting all wound up. So, Robert, you know, you're not saying that this guy's guaranteed to be an idiot. That's not what you're saying. You're not guaranteeing it, but you're saying, unfortunately, experience has been such.
Every NFL player I've ever known in my 15-year career of playing has never changed their spots. They are who they are. Whether they come into the league and ask, or whether they had a great career and everything, they're still an ass. They are who they are. They don't change. They don't stray from who they are. Can't Chad Johnson change for who he is? Actually, maybe, but from what I've seen, from what I've personally seen, and I've been involved with this for my entire life, they don't change. It's hard to change who you are.
Well, what does that mean, man? What are you saying, dude? We're talking about one individual.
Saying that,
like,
it's in your genes.
I know.
Frank,
let me just say this one point. If I said that same thing about Robert, and I said Robert, because he's a football player, thus his behavior and his character is going to be like this, that's slandering you based on something I don't know.
That's not
exactly
what
you're doing.
But based on his experiences with other people,
that makes
Chad
Johnson's going to be like that. That's crazy.
Listen to what you're saying. My character and who I have been the same thing for my entire career. I've been a nice guy. I've been a very humble.
You just separated yourself from the rest of football players.
I have not changed who I am. I am who I am.
You know,
I have not changed who I am.
Do you know Chad personally?
You just answered your question. I have not changed who I am. I've been the exact same person for the first moment I played the CFL.
You missed my point, man. You missed my point. My point is you just generalized him with a bunch of other people that you experienced with.
No,
do you know him personally? Do you know him personally? He said word for word.
Very disrespectful.
I mean, Chris, you've been going down to sort of lambasting this guy's character, and you're talking about being
absolutely
disrespectful.
But,
that's
but
crazy, man.
I'm not trashing his
character. I'm just calling him out on that, man.
Speaking what his past has been.
And what do you know? Have you ever met the guy? How could you say something like that? That's crazy, man.
Manasseh, your point
you
wanna, is well made.
We're talking,
Manasseh, what you're saying is there's validity. There's validity in what you're saying. Absolutely, there's validity in what Manasseh is saying. Is that Robert or I or anyone else, including Christopher, don't really know who Chad Johnson is. So all we have to go by is what we have learned about him. And yes, we are profiling him, no doubt about it. And we need to admit that we're profiling him. And because I think we're profiling him, he deserves a chance to prove that he doesn't fit the profile, because sometimes some people misunderstand other people for whatever reason. So, everyone deserves a chance, whether you want to define it as a second chance or whether you want to define it as a real first chance. Because believe it or not, guys, there are some people who get on a road that they don't deserve to be on and can't get off because people won't let them get off. And that's what Manasseh is saying. And I agree with Manasseh on that. Is that fair, Manasseh?
Right. I'm going to ask you guys, man, Kelly, Frank, Christopher, and I know you probably know Robert and Manasseh. I know you're going to know this. But do any of y'all guys know who Adam Jones is?
Certainly, he's a motocross racer.
Pac-Man.
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 Oh.
Now, Pac-Man been in trouble a lot of times, and he even got suspended twice. Now, for the last couple of years, Manasseh, and you could probably answer this better than anybody, have you heard Adam Jones' name in anything?
No, not at all.
Yeah,
no, course,
no.
Thank
you. Not.
Thank you. He, now, if you're talking about a guy that has changed, Marvin Lewis signed that guy knowing the type of baggage he had. Since he's been in Cincinnati, that guy has not been in no trouble.
No, he has
good
no
for
trouble.
Him.
I agree.
Hey, guys, I got to interrupt. Sorry, man. My phone's beeping at me. It's going to die, like, in a minute. So thanks for having me on the show, as always, Frank.
You're
welcome.
Everybody
have a great night. And
Merry Christmas.
Oski wee-wee.
Oh, you too.
Right. Say you, Bruce. No. And what I'm saying is I think this with Chad being in Montreal is going to be a good thing, like I said, for the wide receivers. Them guys are going to work together. Because they got one goal in mind, and that's a great cup.
Okay,
and
let's hear a new
Chad
voice. Let's hear a new voice about Chad Johnson, one that obviously has no vested interest in Chad Johnson making it with the Montreal Alouettes, because he has no reason to want the Alouettes to play worse or better. John Granger, long time no hear, buddy.
Boys, first of all, I want to just say peace and God bless.
Hi, what's going on?
Too much heat on Chad here. We all forget he's a human being. The criticism is fair. He's a profile public figure. He asked for this profile. He understands it. He's got to carry the luggage. But let's not kid each other. We're all human beings. We're all under God's eye. And things happen for a reason. His punishment is severe. To him, the guy who was on a pedestal, who was in the limelight, to have to more or less morally somewhat subject himself to, I got to go to another league, nobody wants me kind of attitude, and we're not even giving him a chance. I think the fact that he had the courage to still go after his dream, I get it. He's got a lot of history. But people do change. And don't kid yourself, guys. The Montreal Alouettes organization is not the type that just kind of lets things slide. You know, they have a reputation and a class organization to stand up to. And if they see something, you know, these guys, the coaches, and Robert, you know, you got to know when it's in the locker room, people sometimes can change. Chad is probably an egomaniac. That's probably his only biggest fault.
And how many of us have
trouble.
That same problem, John? I have that
True.
Problem. I'm an egomaniac.
Well, you know, but it's not severe. I mean, you know, he goes egomaniac where he thinks he can put his hands on a woman, whatever the circumstances
were. That
doesn't
count.
I'm not going to say that's the reason why we should judge him as a football player. Are we talking about character value here? Is this something to take a chance on? I think the entertainment value that he provides and the fact that he is willing to come and give it a shot up here, and understand what's coming with it, like the criticism I hear going back and forth here. It's not really right, guys. Let's take people for what, you know, they come out to be, not what they were, all right? And if he's coming out to be right now saying he's not that person and he's reaching out to people, then you gotta, if you believe in faith, you gotta give the guy a chance.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Hey,
well,
if Chris can say, if Chris can say Khalif Mitchell can change, come on, man. Seriously?
There you go.
Why not this guy can't change? I mean, what's Khalif different from Chad Ochocinco besides the off-the-field problem?
You know what? I agree 100% with you, Mike. The difference here is Khalif has proved that he has changed, and Johnson hasn't. So everything
but doesn't
that
he get a
you,
chance
myself,
to?
And Kelly and Frank are right now, we're speculating on what's going to happen in the future with this guy's mind, okay? And
right,
it's
well,
not
Chris,
personal for me. I'm not going to argue with
him. Hold on.
All I'm
that
saying is
changed.
That we are speculating as to what is going to be. I don't think he's going to change. He thinks he's going to change. That's all it is. It's simple.
Yeah.
And there's
but
no point in making it personal between us.
If he hasn't changed,
hold on, guys.
He hasn't
what change
been
are we talking about?
Yeah, John,
what
John, let me.
What change are we looking for?
Hold on.
John, let me clear
for?
This
he's up. Not gonna,
yeah.
He's not,
well, that
he's
John
not
makes a valid
people?
Question. What change are we looking for?
Yeah, the issue here, is very simple. Chris, don't try to put yourself in the same group as Kelly and Frank, because Kelly and Frank were looking at it the way any rational person should, which is, you know, can he not? You made statements about him as an individual, talking about who he is at the core of his being. Like, that's on another level of disrespect. That's something else, man. And you do this all the time with different people. And I noticed that, and I'm just calling you out on that, man. The same with Robert, too. You're making the same point, man. How could you do that? If someone did that to you, you would be so upset. Taking shots at somebody.
Like
that's
a doctor.
You.
I can
care
less if
someone
did it
to me.
I can care less. You don't know.
Man, you sound like a total hater, man. You're just hating on a guy.
No,
just because
you
got his shine.
Robert's been a friend of mine for years. He's not a hater. You know what Robert's problem is? Robert, can I tell people what your problem is?
Yeah, go ahead.
Can I tell people what your problem is, Robert?
Yeah.
Can I tell you what your problem is? Here's what Robert's problem is. Robert loves to tell the truth. He doesn't like BS.
People hate it.
He just likes to tell it like it is. And he knows he gets in trouble when he does it.
They hate it.
Isn't that right, Robert?
They hate it when I tell the truth. Yep, they hate it. It's not about telling the truth. It's about going too far talking about somebody that you don't know. If you don't know him personally, how can you say something like that? If someone's said about
I go off his track record, dude.
What are you talking about? Interview after interview of Chad Johnson being Chad Johnson. Why is he in the CFL, not in the NFL? Because he's 36.
He's 36 and he's not a good route runner, and he has poor football IQ as far as learning a new system, like what happened in New England. That's why he's not in the league anymore.
So a guy like him, if he doesn't have elite level athleticism, he can't stay in the NFL. That's flat out, man.
Let me ask you, they released him because of his ability or what he did, or something he did off the field? Well, you're talking about in New England or you're talking about in Miami?
I'm asking. Why did he get released?
He got released in Miami because of what happened off the field with his wife. That's a different thing.
Oh, okay, so that's because of his route running?
I'm talking about why he got let go of in New England and Cincinnati. It was because of his route running and his lack of athletic playbook.
That's your question. Why did he not get in the NFL?
It's because he had to serve the jail time after he slapped
his lawyer on the butt.
He wasn't going to serve any time up to that point, but because he served time, they said they got to cut him. Any player serves time, they let go. That incident was so screwed up and messed up, the judge was going to let him go and let him go on probation again, whatever the circumstances were. And then he slaps his lawyer on the butt, and then she says, contempt, 30 days. That's it. And it's all gone.
And Chad only, and he only served about a week of that slap on the butt. That was it.
But still,
that's
the moral issue standard
So John, what you're saying is he's out of the league on a technicality, essentially.
Well, he pushed the limit, and it really was a screwed up situation because that's what was coming his way.
Which created a problem which could not be ignored.
Yes,
there you go, Frank.
And he hit bottom right there. And, like I said, it's blown up. Are we asking, is he talented? I still think so. Is he going to sell tickets? Yes, he is. Is he going to go off the track and start partying and womenizing?
Or doing what's wrong, maybe?
Hey, guys, the Alouettes are not idiots. They're classy people. The rest of the league try to strive to run like them, be like them, all right? Not like Saskatchewan, but like them. Maybe Saskatchewan off the field. But on the field, in the organization, everybody, okay, wants to be like them. So they're not going to let
that
go.
And you know what, John? And that's exactly what I was saying. Pop ain't no fool. He knew what he was getting into.
Absolutely. Look, guys.
Yep.
We seem to be thinking. I don't understand how this works. But what bothers me is we seem to be thinking that we're forgetting there's a thing called risk management. Pop is risking. He's basically managing risk. Okay, that's what Pop is doing, and all of us are assuming just because there's a 5 or 10 or 15% risk that this could go south, that we're calling it 100%. But it ain't 100% because people can change a little bit. people can also be misinterpreted. And this is where Robert and I disagree, only in this sense, Robert. I disagree that people aren't cookie cutters. You know, people have the opportunity and the ability to change. You know, it just doesn't happen that often. But because it happens, regardless of often, we got to give them a chance. Otherwise, what kind of humanity are we? I mean, you know, I'm a firm believer. I'm a firm believer, and not to thump any kind of emotional, religious kind of thought. I'm just a karma guy. I believe that what you do that's good gets rewarded. What you do that's bad gets punished eventually. It may not, you may not get punished right away, and you may not get rewarded right away. But baby, it's coming. Just wait for it.
Oh yeah.
You know, it a shoe will drop. So let's this guy a chance to prove that he has some good karma. Because you know why? Because I want to think the better. As wrong as that is for me, I want to think of the better. Why do we always have to gravitate to the worst? You know, it's great. It's great that we can predict somebody's horrible, but I would rather be the guy that predicts that somebody's okay. That's just all I'm saying. I want to have faith in humankind. It's a horrible position to be in because humanity keeps showing me it doesn't deserve it. But you know what? I got to keep hoping. I got to keep hoping. That's all
right.
I'm trying to say.
And you know what? And you know what, Frank? You're absolutely right. And I'm going to say this on this on a good note. If Montreal was to release him today, just say, hey, we got enough receivers. Don't think that some other CFL teams up there are not looking and looked at that workout tape or watched Montreal's Chad workout videos in minicamp. He would be signed by another team.
That's another thing that's got to be said, guys. He's actually participated in team activities for 6 days, and I haven't heard a single bad thing yet. So let's give him the benefit of the doubt, I think.
Don't we all deserve that, Kelly? Kelly, don't we all deserve that, the benefit of the doubt?
I think so. I mean, if we're going to be kinder and gentler and be in this together, that's the way it should be.
Being Canadian.
Yeah. Our buddy Nicholas Boulay raved about him, man. He enjoyed him up there.
Yep.
So, you know, but guys, that doesn't take away from his history. So, unfortunately, one thing he doesn't get from me, the one thing, he doesn't get a long leash, I'm telling you. Like, as nice as I'm talking about him and as good and Christian guy that I'm trying to sound like, he don't have a long leash with me. It ain't no long leash. It's a short leash as far as I'm concerned.
He's got no leash when it comes to on the field. It's off.
That's what I'm talking about, John. That's what I'm talking about. Because on the field.
I'm going to hate him. If he's going to be
But
the,
you're
going to
hate him
because
he's playing for the other team. The other team. Yeah, no, we just got
to
make that clear, John.
Guys, honestly, I'll put it this way. Lawrence Phillips had all the talent in the world. Signed with Montreal. All the talent in the world. But you don't stray from who you are. Go back in history and look up who Lawrence Phillips was.
I got you, I respect what you're saying, Robert. I'm just saying my opinion. That's all.
What was Lawrence's problem, Robert?
He had anger management issues and he had an ego.
Well, he also had other issues too, besides the ego.
He had major issues.
Yeah, off the field. I'm not even getting into that because I don't want to tarnish anybody's history and stuff. But we're not talking
not
about the same issues. I'm not comparing
Chad Johnson and Lawrence Phillips. Not even close. They're not even in the same stratosphere. I'm just talking about rhetorically. A person doesn't change who they are. You don't go from striking a woman. I've never hit a woman in my life, ever. My sister,
but
if that counts.
Okay.
We were kids.
Listen, we've only got a minute left, Robert. I'm sorry. We're going to have to leave it there, guys. And the nice thing about me controlling the mics, we're down to a minute and a half. And allow me to close the conversation here. And what I'll say in the final minute that we have here, Robert Drummond, it was a pleasure having you on the program. I really appreciate your input. And you are a forthright person. And you're only extolling your own opinion. And I don't think you've convinced anybody or want to convince anybody that you have all the answers, but you do have an opinion and you're welcome to it, as is Christopher. And of course, as is John Granger, obviously Kelly Bale, and of course, both Manasseh and Manasseh Givermadine, and of course Mike Townsend. Guys, this is great. We're just voicing our opinions. Only time will tell. But I think we can all agree that everybody on this planet, no matter where, how, or why, deserves an opportunity to prove that they can change. So for that, we say goodnight. Thank you for tuning in to Candid Frank Live. This is the CFL is the best football in the world. Thanks for tuning in.